been too long, I guess you could say. 12 years is a lot of growing, a lot of wisdom experience in 12 years. I know I'm just a young man, and back then I was a wee lad, only 6 feet, so not, you know, wee lad. But, man, it's a blessing to be able to stand before you again as an older, more confident, more, I guess, exuberant guy, and to try to, you know, spread a little bit of the gospel and potentially follow my dad's footsteps one day, man. And shout out to Greg, because I was sitting there as he was preaching. He did really well. And as he was preaching, I'm sitting there like, man, you know, I'm a bit of a competitor too. So I'm like, man, like, what's stopping me? I want to be great like him. I want to. He did that. Like, what do I got to do to be that good? So I'm like, well, I guess I got to start. Like, you know, his skill is gained through experience. And even in my years of playing and just knowing, you only get better by doing it. So I may not be perfect, so I've asked you guys to bear with me because it's been a while and kind of have to step back into my element a little bit. But, you know, I don't plan to keep us long, which is I'm sure you guys are glad to hear. So we will be able to get – we all will be able to get that two-piece dark special by 12 today. So, you know, it's – I just – my sermon today will be about the little things. The title will be the straws that break the camel's back. And – in this short little time, I just want to go over some biblical examples of little things we've seen done wrong, some little things done right, and how it ties into us today and how we should take that in our growth as Christians. So I'm going to just start right off. Let's go to Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2. Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2. All right. And it reads, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Now, to an outside looking in, you know, if you have to break down the details of this, you just see, oh, man, they didn't do the fire right. Like, well, that's why they got burnt. No, in their mind, they did what is called being a box checker. And I'm about to explain. Well, Brandon, what's a box checker? I'll explain. A box checker, to me, is what we all get in the habit of doing. We as humans are creatures of routine, creatures of habit. And even us Christians, us faithful Christians, get in the habit of being a box checker. A box checker, to me, is you sing, but you're not singing with your full heart, right? Your full purpose. You're not singing like you're glorifying noise to the Lord. Right. You're checking the box to say, hey, I sung. That's part of worship, I sung. You pray, but you don't pray like you mean it. You don't pray like you're thankful. Like, well, you said pray. You said, you know, we as Christians, we're prayer warriors. So I prayed, but did you mean it? Did you mean it? You give, and so and so forth, but your full effort is not there. We get caught doing this all the time. And I know as Christians, as faithful Christians, some of us, we're here every Sunday, it's hard as human nature to not get in the routine of being a box checker. But this is why I ask us all to look ourselves in the mirror today as I preach, to think like, man, have I been just getting in this dull routine of just show up and do it? Is God really giving my all? Is he? So it's just something I want to think of. And as like I said, they check the box because in their mind, well, we offer fire. We offer fire. I mean, God, this is fire. This is what you want, right? I mean, we just throw a little razzle-dazzle with the incense, but it's still fire. And I said, no, it's not. Punished by death. The same way that we get caught doing these routines is the same way we could be punished in our own lives. Maybe you block your blessings by not doing the little things, the details, exactly how he commanded, exactly how he said it. But I did it, no, but it's not exactly how he said to do it. And lo and behold, would it be a shame to get to the gate and have gate trouble because of the little things is adding this much, or even withholding something as little as that. All that do is not put that incense on the fire. That's it. That's it. That's it, I'm telling you. And please turn with me to Matthew 25:14-30. Couldn't find my physical Bible today. It would be much easier, man. Technology. It's freezing on me. Matthew 25:14. I'm going to cut off by 18. All right. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. You know, we as Christians can sometimes be a little pretentious on the biblical stories looking back. Like, man, that would have been me. You know, I would have gave it the old college try and I would have taken it, grew it, and just made, you know, multitudes of it. But I ask you to check yourself, because sometimes you get that little talent. What do you do with it? Do you take it and waste it? Or are you taking it and growing it? And, you know, it's like, and outside looking in, like, as a human, you like, even myself, by reading this, I'm like, man, that's 1 talent. I'm about to hit it, too. I mean, it's 1. Look at them. They got 5, 2, 4. Like, man, they kind of battleful. What you, I only got to get this 1. I'm not going to do nothing with this, but, like, and then you're like, man. But when you sit down and think yourself and be real, and, you know, as a millennial, I like to put myself in situations and try to keep it real. Like, man, I might have hit it too. And even in my personal growth as a person, that talent I got, I think I did hide it. Just a little bit. Because it took me, you know, in one sentence, I'm glad to be here again in 12 years. But in the same sentence, I had the talent at 13.
That's right.
I took it and hit it. I was not seen for 12 years preaching. And my dad, and give him his credit, because he would ask, oh, when you going to do another one? When you going to do another one? You know, me trying to be cool. Man, nah, I'm good. You know, I just sing it out. You know, I'll help with the offering. You know, I'll be there. I'll give it. But I think it got taken away, because I think about how much times I could have been preaching, how better my public speaking could have been.
That's right.
How much, and I'm already a jolly giant. You know, I already got a big presence about myself, so I've still developed, but how much better could it have been? God gave me the talent. And even with singing, you know, my voice is a little raspy. You know, he remembers, you know, when I was young, I didn't have this raspiness. It really didn't hit till about college. And while I'm starting to kind of get my voice back, I had to ask myself, like, man, I could really sing. Did God take it? Because I started hiding in the back, right? I used to be up here every Sunday singing. Then I got to school, started hiding, less singing, and less singing. And then finally, I got to the NFL, like my rookie year, and my voice just all of a sudden was gone. And I'm like, man, what happened? I mean, I know I was eating salt vinegar chips and all types of acidic combinations. So, that, you know, that could not be it. But in my personal journey and helping me deal with it, I'm like, man, maybe God took it. Like, He gave you this, you know, this voice to reach and impact people. And maybe He took it. Like, maybe He said, you're not going to use it for me. What you need it for?
That's right.
You're still,
right.
You know, you still right. Have your voice. You still be able to talk and lead like you're supposed to. But that singing, brother, that's mine. That was for me. And you ain't using it right. So, I mean, it's just something studying. It's just something. Maybe that's not the case. You know, maybe it's not. But I think in studying and trying to reason, you do have the question, like, man, has he stripped a little of my talent? Like, has he? Or even, you know, whatever you guys do in your journey, like, just think about the talents you feel like you've once had that you've lost.
Right.
What's the purpose there? Because
right.
I promise you, all the things God gives you is in some way built to glorify Him in
That's
some
right.
way. Right. If you have the, you know, you can have the most, whatever worst voice in your head you think you have, but if you're not using it to glorify Him,
right.
it could be gone. One day you wake up, it could really be gone. And last example, I'm going to look at a little thing done wrong, is Jonah 1:1-7. Trying not to be too grave, so we're going to get to the good side eventually. It gets better. I promise you it gets better. So this ain't a beat you up lesson. This is just to keep it real. Jonah 1:1-7. And it reads, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay down, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for who cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. So, again on the box checker, Jonah in his mind was saying, you know, got on the ship and fled, and in his mind, like, well, he said go travel, so I'm going to go travel and go preach, but it's just not going to be the city he's at. It's not the details. It's the details. He told him to go into Nineveh. And as modern Christian today, and many of us who study and look at this, you know, this is one of the first, you know, lessons you know as a member of the church as a kid. Like, oh man, that old whale got him. And you're like, man, that would have been me. That's better. But I'm going to keep it real with you. Keep it real with you. A lot of us look at this and be like, man, we would have went into Nineveh, but in that same sentence, we don't want to go to certain cities and neighborhoods and preach right now. The same ones who sit there like, man, I would have and then what God's gonna do, I'm going. But no. Because the same Bible I read and the same God I serve, that we all serve, says go into all the world.
That's right.
Not the part of the world with the nice cut grass,
that's
the trim
right.
trees,
that's right.
The Walmart, the Target on the corner.
Amen.
You know, the smiling bit. No, all the world. Mm-hmm. That means where the wicked are, where the lost are. The saved are, where the homeless are, where everybody, where all your less than desirable characters are, we're still commanded to go into to that same part of the world. And we look back on this same lesson and say, I would have went to Nineveh. Well, Nineveh's here today.
That's right.
It's all around us. It's in every state, every part of this world, there are Ninevehs, and we are yet to be seen.
That's
some
right.
of us do, but some of us, we struggle with that.
That's right.
Now ask yourself the question, why? Is it fear? Is it lack of desire? Is it motivation? Whatever your reason is, find a way to defeat it. Because God, like I said, God commanded us to go into all the world, and not some of the world, but all of the world, and teach the gospel and save the lost. So it's just something I thought it to myself, like, man, maybe I'm not so different. Like, we nothing new under the sun, and we have evolved as, you know, humans and whatnot, but you know, a lot of ways, we're just the same as these characters we read of. And they're there to teach us and help us realize that we're not so much different. And that it's time to change and be better than those who have come before
us
instead of being like that who are before us. But enough of the bad. So let's go to the good side, man. Let's go to 2 Kings 5, 13 and 14. 2 Kings 5, 13 and 14. And it reads, And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So, getting again on the box checking the details, it may seem tedious at times. There's times where it's like, man, you know, it's a lot to not just come to church, but to call the ones who are not here.
Right.
It's a lot to, man, not just get to church, but get here on time. It's a lot to come to Bible, like to come to morning service, but a lot to get the Bible study. Man, I'm losing hours of sleep. Like, you know, work was stressful, man. They worked me to death yesterday. You want me to get there on time? Really? But, I mean, it's tedious, it's hard, but there's a reward. The same way how there was instructions right here to do exactly as he said, there's a reward at the end of it. There's a reward that we all should get. And I think sometimes that reward gets lost in the shuffle as we live our everyday lives and forget that we are striving to something. The human side of us tells us to kick back. We got time. But I promise you, you push through it, there's a golden crown at the end of it. There is. Let's look at Joshua 2, through 17. I'll probably cut it a little short, but Joshua 2. Let me see where I want to cut it off at. This the right? Yeah, it's the right one. That may not be the right one. Hold on. Might be. I'm sorry. Joshua 6. I'm way off. My bad. Joshua 6. 2-17. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Joshua 6, 2-17. I apologize. All right, here we go. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given it to thine hand, Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with trumpets. And it came to pass that when they make a long blast of the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and encompass the city, and let him let his arm pass on before the ark of the Lord. Now, we all know how this ends. You know, they do everything that's right. The city falls down. As he commanded, as every little detail that is listed, they do. But I'm studying, you know, I'm a realist millennial. I'm studying this. I'm like, man, that's a lot of instructions. that's a lot of instructions, man. Like, you mean to get to me I got to do all this? On the same time, and listen for it sound. Like, I have a hard time listening for an alarm clock. You mean to tell me I'm going to, like, listen for this and do it on cue? Come on now, come on, man, and that, you know, and that's why it's and going back to the point I made, all of that to them probably at the time was like, come on, bro, like that's a lot, man, like we can't just go up and pull out the swords and just get it popping and, you know, get this city, but no, and when you think about it, that was a long, tedious process, and like I was saying, the tediousness of all the little details being done right, the reward was much greater than that process. And, you know, that's instant gratification, how they got theirs. But, and you know, in our long journey battle to one day, you know, stand before our Savior himself, amen. This is a long, tedious process. Some of us have been on this earth for, you know, going on 75, 80 years. I'm sure that Christian battle that you guys have walked every step of the way has not been easy.
That's right.
And I'm sure it's been tedious. Every detail of do right, don't say this, don't be here, don't be, you know, don't be as the world. That is a long process, and like, you know, Dad was touching on, to be hated and not stand out on Wednesday. You know, we're not to be of this world, so a lot of us have been ridiculed in this long step of a process to one day have hopes of reaching that reward. And, it's, you know, as rough as that seems and difficult as that seems, there is a light at the end of that tunnel. That tunnel could be far off, it could be close, we don't know. We don't know when our last day, our last breath is. We don't know the expiration date, but we hope to be ready. And in the process of getting weary and doing these right things along the path, we hope to have done exactly what the Lord has said with details to be right. And that's a lot of details. Nobody's going to bat 100%. Only one man on this world has batted 100% in every little detail. But you want that Hall of Fame RBI. I promise you that. You want to be mentioned in that. You want to have your name in that golden book with the Hall of Fame, which is the ultimate Hall of Fame, as you know, sports head I am. I see that as the ultimate Hall of Fame. I would much rather have one of those golden jackets than the golden jacket I play for right now. And that's just, I would hope that's anybody who touches this earth.
That's right.
It is, man, it is. And let's go to Genesis 6, 14 through 16. Genesis 6, 14 through 16. Nearing the end, so I told you I wouldn't keep you long, man. Nearing the end. Last point I'm making, we'll get ready to wrap it up here. All right, and it reads, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in the cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. with lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. Here we have the age-old tale of Noah's Ark that we all as kids know about. You know, the great flood, the eight that was saved, the multitude that was wiped out based off of this ark. And, you know, being an engineer, I kind of got a greater appreciation for this because, you know, he followed these instructions to a T. I'm sure there was not a bolt, a screw, a nut. There was nothing out of place in order for them to make it out of that flood to be saved. There was not a detail out of place. And, you know, I try to put myself in that, like, man, could I have done that? You know, because I'm a man. I'm a man of my dad. Gonna raised by him, and we have a tendency to throw the instruction books out the window. And most of us do. Most of us think we macho man. Man, I got this. You said build an ark, bet. Give me the hammer. I got it. Give me the hammer. And I promise you, I would look right. I promise you, if he would have gave me his instructions, we wouldn't have made it. We wouldn't have been here. I would have probably chipped the piece of that ark and been like, you know what? Just patch it together. God got us. He got us. You know, but that's just the importance of when God says something to be done, and commands for us to do certain things these days in this world, he means business. You tend it so, and you can best believe if it was 250 cubits instead of 300 cubits, somebody's thinking. And a lot of us wouldn't be here because we all are descendants of that bloodline because they're the only ones that made it. So, you know, I'm sure that wasn't at his mind at the time because he's a human. I'm sure he wasn't thinking, oh, man, if I do this right, generations to come, this earth will be flourished. He wasn't thinking that.
No.
In the same way we don't think about stuff, we do. And, you know, the future impact that it has. You think of today like, man, my feet hurt. You know, I was going to, you know, I was going to invite my neighbor, but, you know, I'm just, I'm a bat, you know, can't do it, not today, no. You know, man, what about next week? Yeah, we'll get there, you know, not next week. But, I mean, and we don't see the future reward of just doing simple stuff like inviting people, going to save souls like we're still commanded because, newsflash, just showing up every Sunday for yourself and saying, I'm good, ain't enough to get you. That ain't enough. That ain't going to cut it, because when he opens that book and says, what have you done in my name?
Right.
And you said, I just showed up front and center at 11 o'clock every Sunday. That's it. The man beside you, he wasn't saved either. You didn't? Oh, just him? Oh, just you? Okay, well. It's a shame. But in conclusion, I'm just, you know, I'm a bit of a character. So this is how I relate to you guys. Just looking at the little things. You know, every day, we all strive to be the best husbands we can be, the best wives, you know, fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, you name it.
Amen.
Even myself. Like, you know, obviously you want to, I'm a competitor. I try to be the most well-rounded person I can be in all walk of life. There isn't a day on this earth I don't walk into that building where I play now, say, man, I got to do everything right. I got to feed my family. I got to have this down. I got to do this. I got to have my step right here to secure this job. But then I had to check myself. If I'm that detail-oriented, going about everyday life, taking care of my family, where is that passion in being a Christian?
That's right.
Why isn't it I'm passing by this man on the street every day?
That's right.
Like, man, that's a soul that can be saved. That's a soul that can be saved. That's a soul.
That's right.
Where is that passion?
That's right.
And I think, you know, and I think sometimes it's easier said than done to be, you know, that upright Christian because that's hard. There's a lot of things in this life that's hard. I mean, pushing a 350-pound man 5 yards is hard.
That's right.
But I promise you, it's not harder than saving no soul. It's not as hard as you think. Like you said, you know, I was just a net. Praise God was, you know, added to the church. And I'm sure there was a lot of effort and put into it, but that reward was great.
Right.
We got to see a sister added into the body. We got to see it.
That's right.
And sometimes I think I myself need to start getting back into the world to get that, to see that reward more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can have all this money, all the riches in the world, but there's nothing better than having a soul to save. Nothing better. And I think sometimes that passion gets lost in the field of just going about my everyday routine. As I said, we're humans of routine, gets lost in the shuffle every time. And now it becomes, then you get into the selfish routine. Well, I fed my family. Let me take my church because I'm only worried about me. I'm going to get there. But no, others have to get there. There's more than just us. It's more than just you. It should be a group effort, like it's a group project, you know. So, and then the last two questions I'm gonna leave you with is, I just want all of you guys to take a night, take some time tonight, look in the mirror and reflect. And literally ask you, not even the mirror, I know, because, you know, you just, whatever, but just take the time to reflect. Ask yourself, are you putting that same everyday effort into church? Because some of us, we're never late for a meeting.
Amen.
We're never late leaving the house.
Amen.
We're never late at any obligations that require us to be on time. But we might be 5 or 10 minutes late to church.
Yeah.
But there might have been traffic, you know.
Amen.
Is this not the most important place supposed to be in this world?
Right.
Is this not supposed to be number one?
Right.
Yeah. Help me, man. Help me, because I'm confused too. Man, and then last, are you in the habit of being a box checker? Do you go about your everyday routines and not put the same passion into God, what we're supposed to do? Do you get caught, you know, singing and just, you know, kind of, I'm going about the business, because I'm singing. Or are you singing like you mean it?
Yeah.
Are you singing like you're glorifying to the one who brought us here in the first place?
That's right.
Are you giving? Are you giving of the best of your means? And that don't have to be $1 million. And that don't have to be, I mean, that's on your heart, but could you give more?
Definitely.
And that's really, I guess, the utmost thing I just want to get out of today. You can give more. Can you give more? Yes. You can give more. And it starts with desire. It starts with passion. It starts with preparation. I mean, it's planned to be here on time. Do what you got to do. You know, yell at your kid a little 15 minutes earlier. You know, I got baby girl now, so, you know, might have to take a little bit of L's for sleep, but we can get here on time. We can be back. And that's just part of my evaluation. I can get us here on time. You know, I've always been the one to take responsibility anyway. So I've known, like, that's an L to me if I'm late.
Right.
And, you know, most of you know I've been this way. I hate being late. Even in school, I hate being late. Workouts, I hate being late. This is what I had to really tell myself. I have never been late a day since I've been here at Lee. I've missed a meeting, haven't been late. But I've been late a couple times to church.
Amen.
And that's the problem.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And he's the one to give me ability to play. So why am I not returning the same effort back into him? So it's just something to think about. And there's some hard pills to swallow, but it's just something that I think we as Christians, being the hardest critics on ourselves, need to sit back and evaluate.
That's right.
Could we get more? Could we be better Christians?
That's right.
Could we walk a little closer to God every day? And most of the times the answer is yes, if you're being real. If you're trying to live in la-la land, I can't help you. But if you're being real, it's a lot of times it is. So the plan of salvation is you must hear the gospel, Romans 10:17, believe what you have heard, John 8:24, repent of your sins, and Luke 13:3. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Matthew 10:32, and be baptized, Acts 2:38. This is the plan of salvation. The same way as Sinette followed, and as you've seen, she confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's the same way a lost soul may have to do it today. So if you have one desire or the other, we ask you please stand. We sing the verse.